I hadn't expected my popular book, A Brief History of Time, to be such a success. It was on the London Sunday Times bestseller list for over 4 years, which is longer than any other book has been, and remarkable for a book on science that was not easygoing. After that, people kept asking when I would write a sequel. I resisted because I didn't want to write Son of Brief History or A Slightly Longer Brief History of Time, and because I was busy with research. But I've come to realize that there is room for a different kind of book that might be easier to understand. A Brief History of Time was organized in a linear fashion, with most chapters following and logically depending on the preceding chapters. This appealed to some readers, but others got stuck in the early chapters and never reached the more exciting material later on. By contrast, the present book is more like a tree. Chapters 1 and 2 form a central trunk from which the other chapters branch off. The branches are fairly independent of each other and can be tackled in any order after the central trunk. They correspond to areas I've worked on or thought about since the publication of A Brief History of Time. Thus, they present a picture of some of the most active fields of current research. Within each chapter, I've also tried to avoid a single linear structure. In 1988, when A Brief History of Time was first published, the ultimate theory of everything seemed to be just over the horizon. How has the situation changed since then? Are we any closer to our goal? As will be described in this book, we have advanced a long way since then. But it's an ongoing journey still, and the end is not yet in sight. According to the old saying, it is better to travel, hopefully, than to arrive. Our quest for discovery fuels our creativity in all fields, not just science. If we reached the end of the line, the human spirit would shrivel and die. But I don't think we'll ever stand still. We shall increase in complexity, if not in depth, and shall always be the center of an expanding horizon of possibilities. I want to share my excitement at the discoveries that are being made and the picture of reality that is emerging. I've concentrated on areas I've worked on myself for a greater feeling of immediacy. The details of the work are very technical, but I believe the broad ideas can be conveyed without a lot of mathematical baggage. I just hope I've succeeded. I've had a lot of help with this book. I would mention in particular Thomas Hertog and Neil Shearer for assistance with the figures, captions and boxes. Anne Harris and Kitty Ferguson, who edited the manuscript, or more accurately, the computer files, because everything I write is electronic. And Philip Dunn of the Book Laboratory and Moonrunner Design, who created the illustrations. But beyond that, I want to thank all those who have made it possible for me to lead a fairly normal life and carry on scientific research. Without them, this book could not have been written. Stephen Hawking, Cambridge, May the 2nd, 2001. Chapter 1. A Brief History of Relativity. How Einstein laid the foundations of the two fundamental theories of the 20th century, general relativity and quantum theory. Albert Einstein, the discoverer of the special and general theories of relativity, was born in Ulm, Germany, in 1879. But the following year, the family moved to Munich, where his father, Hermann, and uncle Jakob set up a small and not very successful electrical business. Albert was no child prodigy, but claims that he did poorly at school seem to be an exaggeration. In 1894, his father's business failed, and the family moved to Milan. His parents decided he should stay behind to finish school, but he didn't like its authoritarianism, and within months he left to join his family in Italy. He later completed his education in Zurich, graduating from the prestigious Federal Polytechnical School, known as the ETH, in 1900. His argumentative nature and dislike of authority did not endear him to the professors at the ETH, and none of them offered him the position of assistant, which was the normal route to an academic career.